This is Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars with Trevor Long and Stephen Fenwick. Thanks to NRMA Insurance and Uniden.
Coming to you each and every week, Trevor Long, Stephen Fenwick, proudly brought to you by NRMA Insurance, helping over 3 million people across Australia protect the things they care about. And of course, Uniden Smart Dash Cams, awarded best dash cam by Canstar Blue, and they've got some cracking new products out that we'll tell you about shortly. So make sure you've got a dash cam in your EV or your petrol car. That's okay. We're cool with that.
They Stephen, work in all of them.
Lovely to see you, mate.
Great to see you too. Again, another big week in EVs. We talk about some global sales, local sales, and they appear to be going up.
On the up. Plus, we're going to talk to a dual EV owner. Who owns two Teslas. I won't hold that against
Doing
him.
Doing very well.
Until I talk to him, then I might. And I want to have a discussion later about just the number of apps you need to install to own an EV. Essentially, the number of charging networks that exist is a bit complex. It's not as easy as you might think.
But it's not a bad problem to have if there's more. There's a few.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that. But, mate, as we record early in April, mid-April, we have last year's sales numbers, last month's sales numbers from the Federal Chamber of Automotive Industries. And these numbers are going to be interesting to watch over the coming months because of the dramas that happen with the new vehicle emissions standards. Polestar pulled out of the federal chamber. Tesla's done the same. Will they still submit their sales numbers? And if they don't, how does that muddy the waters on all this reporting and stuff like that? So we've got a bit to worry about there. Now, broadly, and this is a fascinating thing, if you read what the Chamber of Automotive Industry said, they said EV sales are flat.
Right.
They were very bullish? No. The opposite of bullish about it. They were bearish.
Is it bearish?
What are we, stock market analysts? They were negative about it broadly. They weren't positive about EV sales.
Right.
Because if you look at it in some ways, yes, EV sales aren't exactly growing in exponential numbers. But here's the thing. I read this on the NRMA membership, so not NRMA Insurance, but the NRMA, my NRMA roadside assistance website. They say EV sales in March kept abreast with February, with 1 in 10 vehicles sold being battery alone. So that means 1 in 10 of all vehicles sold were electric cars, fully electric cars.
Okay.
But when you really narrow it down, okay, let's take out vans.
Yes.
Let's take out trucks and non-passenger vehicles. And
so
you just go, right.
SUVs too? Or?
Well, SUVs are passenger vehicles.
Is that a passenger car? Okay.
So anything that's a passenger car, one in five passenger cars were electric.
Okay.
18.9% of total sales. Okay. That's a big deal. Like, I think that's significant, but as the NRMA points out, it's passenger cars only represent 15% of the broader market.
Another fact I notice here is that the SUV segment of the entire market.
Passenger cars doesn't include SUV.
It doesn't.
No.
So 60% of the market of all cars are SUVs.
Yeah, right.
But yet electric SUVs only account for 14.4% of all SUV sales.
Yes.
Which
it's still
that's a bit greater figure than late last year.
But that's the bottom line. Yeah. If you go year on year, month on month, we're at a steady pace. But year on year, the numbers are great. And, you know, if passenger cars are 18.9% electric and SUVs are 14.4% electric, that's not a bad
pretty
thing.
Good.
And let's be real. If you look at the top 10 EVs for last month, okay?
Yep.
Tesla Model Y, 4,379 were sold last month, nearly 7,000 in the last 3 months.
Yep.
Tesla Model 3, 1,600, nearly 6,000 over 3 months.
They're runaway leaders, aren't they? Tesla with a Model Y and 3. So just combine those two.
Yep.
And they make up more than the rest of the list put together.
Probably easily, without question. The BYD Atto 3 is third with 1,000 sales. The Seal is fourth with 365. The MG4 at 352, so that's good competition there.
Yeah.
BYD Dolphin at 213. So BYD really establishing themselves there with three models out of the top six.
Yep.
Kia EV6, a great car, 589 for the year.
Yep.
The Kona, Hyundai Kona, 170, and I think we're not slated to talk about it today, but I do have an article at EFTM.com on the new EV5, which is a smaller
Kia
mid-size SUV, probably will replace Maybe it won't replace the EV6, but it'll sit somewhere
it'll
in the market.
Supplement it. Yeah.
It will compete directly with the Model Y.
Okay.
Pricing will be critical. BMW i4, I think, still a staggering performance. 236 of those sold. That's more than the BYD Dolphin for a fully electric BMW sedan.
Pretty good.
Not cheap, by the way, either.
Yes,
so
right.
A great outcome. And the 10th best-selling EV in Australia in March was the Volvo XC40 Recharge, which you've driven.
Which I've driven. We've both driven the EV6 and the MG4 and the Model 3, of course.
Yep.
We're about to get into the BYDs, aren't we?
I think, very soon, yes.
So, yeah, it's good that we are getting into these cars, but Tesla, what do you put that down to? Is it the fact that I think still in people's minds they think electric car, they think of Tesla?
Mate, I was asked to comment on Tesla's broadly on some news website, and I said exactly that. I think Tesla has owned the market on, I want an electric car, Tesla.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's the
first brand
thought
that comes to mind. It reminds me of when, do you remember when the iPod came out?
Yeah.
And it was massive. And then other brands had their own version,
but,
and it became, I want to buy an iPod.
Yeah, good
so
luck
became,
being Microsoft with
you know
the Zune.
I mean? It made the device, the it was became
the
generic name for the category.
That's right.
Yeah, I want to buy an iPod.
Yeah.
Or I want to buy an Esky.
And the other thing, because the article that I was involved in is pretty much negative towards Tesla's build quality and things like that.
But, controversial.
Oh, just someone bought a car and it had completely different colored woods.
Oh.
On the door and,
so
and
production
front.
Issue.
It's like, Jesus, come on. And that is a failing of Tesla over the years. It's not as bad
They've
today.
They've improved greatly at the
But
now.
The critical thing that I will continue to say about Tesla is their charging network is a reason to buy them.
Absolutely right.
Like, I'm sorry.
They're everywhere. Yeah.
But if you have any plan to drive somewhere, they have the best network.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
And they were smart enough to, we mentioned this previously, but they were smart enough to get out there and build the network. Do it. So if you build it, they will come, literally, is what happened.
It may well be the absolute
that's the
truth
reason.
In this case.
Can you imagine if BYD had gone out and done the same thing? So just built tons of chargers out there, and then people think, oh, wow, I'm seeing them everywhere. I'm going
to
buy one.
You want to be synonymous with electrification.
And that's what Tesla did. Well, they were first mover advantage. So I think, you know, that's their reaping the reward there of being the first.
Now, here's what's interesting. Market share by state. EV market share. So this is not your national share. It's
right.
EVs in the ACT were 21% of all purchases.
Okay.
So they're the leader in terms of share of sales in your state, with New South Wales second at 11%.
9.5.
I'm looking at March. I'm looking
at March. Right.
Queensland 9.2. South Australia 8.9. Victoria 9.4.
So they're second. Victoria. Yeah, right?
Victoria's second.
Why don't they put them in order?
It's a very weird chart that we're looking at here. I'll be honest with you, folks.
Yeah.
And then there is a bit of data from Tesla to come. But look, the bottom line is, Big sales for Tesla continue.
Yeah.
We hope they keep reporting. Now, conversely, there was a study released, and I got this through Savvy. I don't know what they do, to be honest. But anyway, that's who sent it to me. They're Savvy.
Yeah, pretty savvy.
there's a lot of data. But the thing I was looking at here was the top models in other countries and other places. Yeah. Europe, Model Y, Model 3, same as Australia.
Yeah.
USA, Model Y, Model 3. China.
Funny that.
Model Y. And then the
BYD
the Atto 3. Yeah, it's called the Yuan Plus over there.
Okay.
So Model Y is the best-selling electric car in the world.
Your favorite.
By a margin. The ugliest car in the world.
I remember getting that and thinking, you know what, it was all right, and you just hated the shape of that thing. Why?
It's ugly.
It's just bubbly looking. Do you feel the same way about the Model 3?
Especially the new one. The
new one
looks
great.
Beautiful.
And apparently the model that's going to come through
to
the Model Y.
It won't help the rear end of the Model Y. It's just the wrong design.
I think it might streamline it a little bit. Because they did it with the Model 3.
True. It's the head from the front end, any angle, the front end is horrible because of those bubbly headlights. And the new headlights are great.
Yes.
I don't know how you fix the rear quarter view of a Model Y.
Trev won't be getting a job as a designer at Tesla anytime soon.
In Europe, the Fiat 500e is the third best-selling car.
Wow.
And just
looking
have a
after your own.
Have a listen to this list, because some of these don't even exist here. The Dacia Spring.
What is that?
Well, Dacia's old brand that used to be in rallying and stuff, but anyway, Volkswagen ID.4 and 5, so they're two different models. I don't know why they're grouped together. The MG4, which we know, the Peugeot E208.
Is that on sale here?
No.
Coming soon.
The Volkswagen ID.3, which is still not on sale here, but it's a Cooper born with a Volkswagen badge.
I was going to ask about the Cooper. No Cooper's on that list. No Mercedes
on
that list
either. We're a niche mob here.
Yeah.
Skoda have the Enyaq and Renault Megane electric in Europe, whereas in America, third place the Chevy Bolt.
Wow,
which is a very small little thing. Yep. Which when it was released or previewed at CES, I'm gonna say 8 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Flipsy, who was with me at CES, like just bold asking questions. He went on a ride with the bloke. He said, "Yeah, we can make this in right-hand drive." Well, maybe he said we couldn't, but anyway, bottom line, we got it straight up that it wasn't coming to Australia, and I think that's a failing because it's a small car. It would do well here up against the Dolphin, for example.
Is the Leaf? You can buy the Leaf here, can't you, or not?
The Nissan Leaf?
Yeah. It's a small car too, isn't it?
No, not as small as the Dolphin.
But have a look at the Mark E, Mustang. That's number right. 4.
40,000.
Wow. I know sales in Australia aren't that strong, but I've driven the Mustang, the Mark E. It's really
for
nice.
For comparison, they're selling 40,000 Mustang Mark E's. Tesla's selling 400,000 Model Y's.
Yeah, wow.
It's a tenfold difference.
Wow. Hyundai Ioniq 5. Is that what you're driving right now?
Yes, that's what you're going to take home. The Rivian R1S and the Ford F-150 Lightning.
Wow.
Both around 25,000 each.
And the Model X is number 9.
Yeah, still
the
doing
model,
well
the plaid model that they didn't bother to make here in Australia.
So he's still filthy about it.
Still bitter.
And then quickly, look at the China list. Like, you wouldn't even know half of them. The Aeon Y, I've seen – when I was in
Aeon Y?
Shanghai, I saw a lot of Aeons. Aeon or Aeons.
Aeon.
I think it's an I or an L? The second one's an I. So I think it's Aeon.
Yeah.
What about one? There's one called the Wuling Bingo. They sold 167,000 of them.
What about Model 3 in China is 9th?
How's that?
What's doing? Maybe they got the old model. They're thinking they don't make them. Well, they make them. That obviously the ones made locally are sold in China as well as being sold in Australia. Yeah. I know they do that.
100%.
Wow.
I don't know. There's a lot of growth in the new brands coming to market category for Australia.
Model Y, number 1 in China. Model 3, number 9.
Struggling to make ends meet in China, Elon is doing his very best though. All right, so still growing. We're still getting there with EV sales. It's baby steps. I'm not sure it's enough for the government to be happy, but who cares about them? Let's just keep enjoying electric cars, folks. All that data is available online. Very easy to find if you want to check it out. We don't have it on our website, so I don't have them published. Have you?
Of what? No, I haven't.
Oh, but I tell you what I have done.
Yeah.
You're going to hate me.
Why?
Because I suggested it and you didn't want to do it. So I've done it anyway. I've done it anyway because I want more people to contact us, right?
So you've set up a website.
SMS number.
SMS number. Have you now?
Which I use for EFTM as well, but I don't get that many messages. Well, it won't be easy. 0477-657-657.
Okay.
WhatsApp or SMS, 0477-657-657. If you own an EV, if you're looking to buy an EV, we've got questions about EVs. 0477-657-657. We'll get you on the show and we'll have a chat.
I'm going to publish that number on Tech Guide. I always write a story when the new episode drops.
I think you have to say that one more time.
I have to write it down.
0477-657-657.
There you have it.
And we're about to speak to an EV owner, so that's exactly the link we need. So if you want to be like our next guest, get in touch, or you can go to our websites, techguide.com.au and EFTM.com. All right, Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars, thanks to NRMA Insurance and Uniden Smart Dash Cams, and some cracking new dash cams available
in
the last few weeks.
Is.
Very good to look at. But again, keeping in touch with real people who own real EVs, to be honest, favourite part of the show.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I love hearing from drivers.
I think it's really useful for people, especially given they're listening to us, right, which is great.
Well, they can listen to us, but we're talking to real people.
Everyone has a bias.
We're real people too.
I have a bias towards Coopers and Kias. I mean, you have a bias towards Mercedes.
Teslas and Mercedes,
But we also, and we learnt this over recent weeks, just talking about different ways we do things.
Yep.
You know, you have a different way of approaching charging to me. And like, it's all different. Everyone has a different approach.
Yep.
So let's keep that going and talk to Dean, who doesn't own one, owns multiple Teslas. Dean, doing very well.
Very, very well.
Oh, thank you, boys.
Welcome to the show. What do you own?
Thank you very much.
What do you own?
I've I've got the original, the first one that I got was a 2019 Model 3.
Righto.
One of the very early ones into the country. And then 2 years later, I ended up with buying a Model Y. Both in the base model.
Yep.
And they've just both proven to be just amazing vehicles.
Okay, so how much driving do you actually do? And is one car yours, one your wife's, or one you just got two cars to drive yourself? Who drives which car?
No, well, funnily enough, what happened is I put down my deposit early on for the Model 3. And just before I received it, my mother, who was always a Mercedes-Benz driver, had a pretty severe accident and wrote her vehicle off. Mm-hmm. We then went and got her the new model Mercedes, which she found very complicated. Right. At the time, she was 80 years old. Mm-hmm. So I took her for a test drive in a Tesla because I had one coming. Mm. And she just fell in love with it and the simplicity of using it. Which is really, you know, a lot of people don't believe it. Like, your mum's 80, she's driving a Tesla. Like, how does she handle the technology?
And simplicity is not a word I would directly associate with a Tesla because, and again, this is my personal bias, I love a button. I love heat up, heat down button. Whereas, you know, you've got on-screen control for that kind of thing.
Yeah,
so
right.
Your mum took to all of those things with absolute gusto.
Well, what turned out to happen was once the car was set up, the climate control was set at 22 degrees. She basically uses it like a golf cart where she comes comes to the vehicle. It knows her phone, so it knows it's her. Mm. It, all the settings go to how she likes it. She puts it in drive and she drives.
Wow.
When she gets home, she pushes the button on the end, puts it into park and that's it. It's very simplistic, but yet highly technical.
So she's got the Model 3, is that right?
She ended up having the Model 3, which I now have, because she wanted because the Model 3 was a little bit hard to get in and out of, being quite sporty and low.
Okay,
one of the selling points of the small SUVs. Yeah.
Yeah, so she we put our name straight away down for a model for the Model Y, and when that arrived, she thought it was great initially because it's very easy to get in and out of. But although they look very similar in size, the Model Y is quite a bit bigger.
Yeah,
a lot wider, higher,
spacious.
Yeah, and she found it a little bit more difficult to drive than she thought it would. So she ended up going back to the Model 3 and I ended up with the Model Y.
Wow. Okay. What a good son. Hey, looking after his mum.
Yeah.
Hey, how good's that?
My mum's not listening.
How good's that?
Yeah. Just so you know, mum, you're not getting any of them. You can stick with your bloody Mazda and pay petrol.
Now, you live in Terrigal, is that right, Dean? So you do a bit of driving, don't you?
That's right. I live in Terrigal, and I also, through the winter months, we do a lot of trips down to the snowy mountains.
Okay.
And which at first we thought may be difficult with the electric car because, you know, everyone talks about range anxiety and the like. But what we soon found was they're very different to drive than you first perceive them to be as far as the way you charge, the way you go about doing a trip. People have the misconception that you need to charge them up to 100 every time you stop.
Mm, very, very good.
We get that a lot. We're hearing that a lot. And it's good that people are learning that that's not actually the case.
You charge it to
what
you
need. It's not a
tank
of petrol.
For the next leg, don't you?
That's right.
That's right. So what I've found the best method is I leave Terrigal and I get to Goulburn with about 20% left. And then I just charge it to 80%. And that happens extremely quickly, probably about 20 minutes.
Wow.
But if I were to wait for it to get to 100, it would probably take about an hour and a half.
That's right. Yeah. People
that
really
extra 20,
don't
understand
that filling a bucket with water scenario, which is you're filling it up and then you're always going to slow the water flow when it gets to the top so that you don't overfill it. That's why cars slow down the rate of charge between 80 and 100 and why 80 is the optimal highway charging number, except when you're like that bloody situation I had a few months ago with the Ford E-Transit van, knowing that I actually needed the additional range, so I needed to push into the 90s. So
who would drive a transit van into the country anyway?
Someone who's
only
just
you
out
would
there
do
for
that.
The testing, out there for the testing.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, yeah, so Dean, it's, you've been a driver for quite a while, quite experienced. So over the years, we're going to ask you to tell us what you like, what you don't like. Start with what you really like about the Teslas.
Yeah.
What I love about them is the Model 3's done 68,000 kilometres now.
Wow.
Yep. It hasn't been serviced. There's been nothing wrong with it. I took it in when it approached the 4-year warranty for the vehicle side of it, not the engine, but the car itself.
Yep.
I thought, gee, I should get this checked because you know it's running out of warranty soon. And I got a bill for I think it was $130, and that was they changed the windscreen wipers. They filled up the washer bottle,
yep,
and replaced the cabin filter.
Wow! Right.
You know what?
And that
I'd forgotten
that
about
says
that.
A lot. Yeah.
And that is a we've spoken to other Tesla owners who have. There's a few things that are very clear with Tesla, but that is something that still stands out among all car companies that Tesla does. So I remember when I was buying the Cooper, there was a lot of, again, I had to leave the Facebook group, so many narcs about, and BYD had this as well, their service intervals, service costs, and you know what I went? I'm not stressed because I currently pay for servicing a car. I'm saving on petrol. It's all good. But if I could get those service costs down from $300 a year to zero or $50, it does still make a big difference. And I wonder if, Dean, the fact is Tesla being a new car company doesn't have to shake the legacy business model that is dealerships making money from service. And that's where the balance it goes against other car companies, Dean.
That's exactly right. And I think there's a bit of disinformation around these types of things because of the inability of other car companies to produce such a new type of vehicle, they don't want it to happen too quickly because they need to retool and have expenditure in getting it that way. So I think they need to kind of not have it happen too quickly.
Whereas plus, they Tesla also need to retain what Trevor was mentioning. They need to retain their model, their service, their yearly service, and they need to still make money on you throughout your ownership.
So then,
that's exactly right.
The big challenge for you, Dean, here is you're well into the ecosystem, right? Now, Elon Musk's looking at random long-term owners of Teslas, and he picks up the phone and he calls Dean. And apart from the fact that he's an absolute gibber on the phone, you do give him the time, Dave. And he says, Dino, mate, what do we do to improve the car? What would Dean do to improve the Tesla?
Oh, wow. That's a difficult one.
Can I make a suggestion thinking? Can I make a suggestion?
Yes, please.
No cluster in front of the driver. How do you like that? Would you like a cluster?
No, it really doesn't bother me at all. I generally drive on, because they're so powerful and quite sensitive with the accelerator, I tend to drive constantly by just tapping down and turning the cruise control on to the set speed of wherever I am.
Okay.
So I drive a lot using that and one pedal driving.
Yeah.
So it doesn't bother me too much, the lack of the cluster.
Heads up display, maybe?
Heads up, that would be, yes. That would be nice. That would be
when
nice
Elon,
to have
when
right
Elon
in front
calls
of
us, we'll let
anything
him
else
know,
come
mate.
To your mind
we'll
while Stephen was rabbiting on?
Not really.
Yeah, that's
just to give you an example of how much I've found this. I also have an Audi Q7, which I've had since 2014.
Doing very, very
what
well.
What about Dean, eh? We're looking for an answer,
Dean. Wow. We need sponsors. But
so what happens when I drive to work? Driving a return trip to work is 135 kilometres
about
round
the
trip.
Average, yep.
If I take the Audi, it'd probably cost me around $18 to $20 in fuel. It's a 3-litre turbo diesel.
Yep.
If I take my Tesla, I charge at night from midnight to 6 a.m. at 8 cents a kilowatt hour.
Yep.
It costs me around, I think it works out at around $1.48.
Wow.
In electricity.
Wow.
Can I ask who you're with for electricity? It's a good deal.
AGL.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. Interesting. Yeah.
And so is AGL, that just your EVs. Norm? Do you have a deal with them? You got an EV plan, haven't you, with them? Is that right?
Yeah, it's the AGL EV plan, which I've only been using that for a few months now.
Wow, that's a ripper.
It's an absolute ripper.
You must be an absolute pest among your mates. How much you love the Tesla, but you fit perfectly into the Tesla community in that sense. But the thing is, and I joke and I jest, but the fact is, this is a genuine lived experience. And Dean, you can't take that away from you. You've bought a car, you've loved it, you've got a second one. It's great. You frankly don't have any complaints about it, which is remarkable
for someone
that's owned a car for 4 or 5 years, Dean. So, mate, really, really good insights.
Yeah.
For anyone listening who is thinking of a Tesla, it's pretty hard not to go with an endorsement like that, Dean. So I really, really appreciate you sharing that with us, mate.
They should do an ad, Dean and his mum.
Dean and his mum.
An ad for Tesla. Do it with Dean and your mum. That'll be an awesome ad.
Yeah. Look, it's not only Tesla. I just have personal experience with Tesla, but just the ecosystem itself and the ease, like not having. I haven't been to a service station for about 9 months.
What, not even to buy chockies, mate? Not even to buy chocolates or something?
So I've probably lost a bit of weight because I'm not doing the upsell.
That's why I get rid of the other petrol car. I'm trying to do it. You're a good man, Dean. We really appreciate you joining us to share those thoughts, mate. It means a lot, and I think it's great learning for everyone, mate. Good on you. Thanks for getting in touch.
Thanks, Dean.
Thank you very much. Love your work, boys.
Cheers, mate. Thanks very much. And if you, like Dean, want to share your experience with your EV, get in touch, techguide.com.au and EFTM.com.
Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars is proudly supported by Uniden, and they've just released the Uniden Dashview 60 Plus. This is their first 5K resolution dash cam. 5K, even more detail, 150-degree wide-angle front-facing camera as well. It's got the Sony Starvis sensor. That means a lot because it works well during the day, during the night, all types of lighting conditions. That's the whole idea of having a dash cam, so I can record everything that happens on the road, and now in 5K resolution. So check that out, the Dash View range. There are others. There's also the iGo Cam range as well. Uniden has got you covered on the road for all your dash cam needs.
Now, Stephen, one of the first things I kind of had to do when I bought the Cupra was set up the apps for the charging networks.
Yes.
Because you had a Tesla.
Yep.
You have one app. It does everything.
One in, all in.
Helps you work out your car. If you need any information about charging stations, that's on the dashboard. But if you want to do it while you're sitting on the lounge, it's all there, right? But if you own a Kia, Cupra, Hyundai, whatever the heck you own, or a Tesla, and you want to be really able to use any of the apps. Now, we've talked before about the apps that exist like PlugShare and setting up a road trip, trying to plan yourself
out. I've done that many times. I'm staying here. Can I charge there? Yeah.
It'll suggest a bunch of different charges, but they will be from different networks.
Yes.
So here's the question I want to pose is, why are there so many apps? Like, why are there so many charging networks?
Yeah.
And it's a tough one to answer because in the end, it's because there's no one dominant player other than Tesla.
Yeah.
Tesla's the only company with the balls to spend the money to build a network. We talked about it like 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yep.
If someone went all in and spent billions of dollars building a network, they would be as dominant as Tesla in the charging market. And frankly, they put everyone else to shame. Mm. But I just had a look on my phone, right? Yep. I've got a folder called Bobby Bourne, right, for the Cupra. And the folder has in it Tesla, ChargeFox, AMP Charge or Amp Charge.
Yep.
Sorry, Amp Charge for Ampol.
Yep.
My NRMA, ChargeBay, NRMA uses the ChargeFox, but it's also their own independent ones. ChargeBay, BP Pulse, EV Charging, ChargePoint, which doesn't really exist anymore, and another one called EV Charging. And I know of at least two others, OMI and another one. So there's at least 10 apps, 10 different chargers you could pull up to at a shopping center or on a freeway or whatever.
Yeah.
There's at least 10 different apps you might need.
Yeah.
To be able to plug in and get your charge started.
And the thing is, you'll find out, I reckon, 50% of the time, probably more, where you pull up at a charge, you think, oh, I don't have this app. Scan this QR code, download the app, set up an account. So there's how many times have you done that? I did it a few times. I didn't just download these apps think, oh, I might need that
one.
You don't want
to be in regional Australia where there's no mobile coverage internet.
That's true. But no, I have done it, mate. I've been thinking, oh, hang on, what charge? Oh, hang on, I've got to download. I don't have this app. Normally it's a ChargeFox or someone, an EV or someone I've got. But I think like 8 times out of 10, those apps were downloaded on my phone because that happened to be the only charger in front of me that I had to. I got to set up an account, put my credit card on it, do it all on
and
the spot.
And some of them don't take Apple Pay or Google Play, and you got to find your credit card. I don't carry those around with me all the time.
I do.
The other thing that bugs me is sometimes you need a cable and sometimes you don't.
Yes.
Luckily, in the Cooper, I do carry a cable around.
I've got a cable in my Merc. I've got two cables in my Merc.
We're in the EV6 in North Sydney, Crow's Nest, and in a Woolworth shopping centre. There's a charger here. We'll park there while we go for dinner.
Yep. It didn't have a cable.
I could see that it was cableless, and I didn't bring the cable, guys.
Yeah, so there's some chargers in Broadway. They've got heaps of Tesla chargers, but there's also a whole row on the back wall of other chargers.
Mm.
And none of them have – some of them have a cable, but others – most of them don't have the cable.
So, I mean, look.
And you know what? A lot of cars don't include that.
No.
I remember when I got my Model S years ago, they actually – there was no cable in it, apart from just the one to plug in the wall.
Mm.
But then they gave – no, sorry, there was a cable, and then they gave me an adapter for the cable for when the CHAdeMO charger came out.
Right.
But my Merc had two cables in that one, so one for the double and the single, the Type 2 and the CHAdeMO one.
Yeah.
And, and it came in a nice little zip-up little case. It was pretty nice.
Yeah,
in your Cooper board?
Cooper came with the Type 2 to Type 2, so for charging points that just don't have cables, whereas the Kia came with the granny charger.
Oh,
so just a normal PowerPoint.
Yeah.
So for the Cooper, I bought a granny charger, and for the Kia, it's like, do I buy one of those? No, because we're not going to go to those kind of places.
Okay, like you need the cable, so you're not going to.
Mate, the Kia gets charged at home 99% of the time.
Right.
The only other time we're going to take that place, and we'll go to Young in a few weeks, and it will charge. I know all the chargers on the way there have cables.
Yep.
And the NRMA one,
yep,
and Charge Fox and Young. So I don't. I'll bring the granny charger with me, but I won't bring a Type 2.
Okay. Story for another day is our frustration when the chargers are out of order. For another day.
I'll put it on the list for next week.
Yeah.
Out of order chargers.
That could be a worry if you're on a road trip. But
it's frustrating,
we'll,
folks.
We'll discuss more
about
that.
And you can't always find out in advance. That's critical.
Yeah,
anyway,
that's true.
If you are buying an EV, that's a quick list of apps you're going to need. There's probably more.
Yeah.
And I think in time,
there'll
be an aggregation. There'll be an app that brings it together.
There'll be
APIs created so you can look at one app and go whether there's available
there'll be a Hubble of charging apps.
Oh. Not the best example, really, is it?
Do you know what I mean?
No, I know what you mean.
Is that a too obscure a reference?
I know exactly what you mean, but, you know, my thoughts on Hubble. So let's hope they come up with something better.
It just brings apps together.
You know what I think? I have this a fetch of charging apps.
Why didn't I think of that? That's better. Fetch of charging apps. That's much better.
There's so many options.
Much better. Shout out to Scott Lawson, who's a
top bloke.
Model Y driver.
Is he?
Model Y. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Wow. He's gone down in my opinion so much.
Model Y driver.
Get a real car, Scott. Yeah. He's doing very well. He can definitely just, like, come on. Why have you not got a Merc better than Stevens?
Well,
that's embarrassing, Scott.
A story for another day.
Send him this clip. Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars. Get in touch. Techguide.com.au, EFTM.com, or 0477 657 657. 0477 657 657. Send us an SMS or a WhatsApp. We'll get it and we'll get you on the show. Hopefully, we'll hear from more EV owners over the weeks ahead. Thanks for your company, Stephen. I'll see you next week.
See you, buddy.